What is the point? I mean, what is the point of tidying the house if it will only get messy again? Have you ever thought that? What is the point of mowing the lawn if it will just grow all straggly again? What is the point of washing the dishes if the sink will only fill up all by itself with plates and cups and saucepans again? And what's the point of taking a shower if you will only get smelly again? And what was the point of the flood in the time of Noah? Did it solve any real problems? Did it solve the sin problem? Did it get to the heart of the problem? Well, to answer that question, we have to ask, what was the heart of the problem? And in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, we get to see very clearly what was the heart of the problem. There we read that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth. And he saw that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created." So we see that long before the flood, God had identified that the heart of the problem of evil upon earth, was the human heart. Did God see anything good in the human heart? We often say that we need to look for positives in people, but did God see anything good in the human heart at the time of Noah? No, he did not. He saw that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. And he decided to wipe from the face of the earth the human race that he had created. He decided to destroy human race apart from Noah and his family, that is 8 people in total. Now, if the heart of the problem of evil was the human heart, then hopefully the water of the flood would somehow resolve the problem of the human heart. Otherwise, think about it logically, otherwise those 8 human beings would go into the ark with evil hearts and would come out of the ark with evil hearts. And if that were to happen, then you might be right in suggesting that nothing would have changed. And therefore, you may be justified in asking, what was the point of the flood in the time of Noah? Let's move on to our second slide, please. Let me ask you, what was the point of the flood? Have you ever stopped and thought about this actual question? What was the point of the flood? I know it makes beautiful stories in children's Bibles with pictures and so on. I know there are some lovely aspects of the story, but what was the point of the flood in the time of Noah? Did it get to the heart of the problem? Did it solve the problem of the evil human heart? Let's read Genesis chapter 8 and look for some answers. Genesis chapter 8 verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark, and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up on the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, they will never cease." In this passage, we see the love and the care of God. Think about it. The same God who had shut the door in chapter 7 is now the same God about whom it is said in this chapter, verse 1, that God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. So what do these words, "God remembered Noah," mean? If we were talking about another human being, then to remember may well imply that the person had previously forgotten, but had now remembered. But in the case of living God, who has no fault, that cannot surely be the interpretation. If God can have no fault, then surely these words must mean that throughout their time in the ark, God had been remembering Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. Indeed, he had been watching over them, keeping them safe non-stop. Because as Psalm 121 says, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And the God who had closed the door, and the God who had watched over this precious human cargo, and all the dear animals as well, as they were coming and going over the surface of the water in the ark, he is the very same God who said to Noah after the flood, come out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons, their wives, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. God had shown love and care to the inhabitants of the ark before the flood, during the flood, and after the flood. And then he says something very revealing, something that we need to talk about if we are going to answer the questions that we asked at the very beginning. What was the point of the flood in the time of Noah? Did it solve any real problems? Did it solve the sin problem? Did it get to the heart of the problem? Did it transform the sinful human heart? Well, what I would like to call the happily ever after brigade, they may like to focus on the raven and the dove and the olive leaf and the rainbow. And they might like to declare that after the flood, there was a brand new beginning and everything was fresh and badness had been washed away and they all lived happily ever after. Well, the happily ever after brigade, they can declare what they like. And those children's storybooks can declare what they like. But clearly, they have not read the text. And clearly, they are not declaring what God declared himself after the flood. Because in verse 21, we read that God said in his heart after the flood, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Oh dear. So in that case, what was the point of the flood in the time of Noah? Did it solve any real problems? It did not solve the sin problem. That is clear from the text. It did not get to the heart of the problem because, as we have already affirmed, the heart of the problem is the sinful human heart. It did not transform the sinful human heart. And as we know, because we just read, even after the flood, God said in his heart, every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. So that does rather raise the question, what was the point of the flood in the time of Noah? What does it teach us, at least? What can we learn from it? Surely the flood teaches us that all the water of the greatest flood cannot cleanse the sinful, wicked human heart. It demonstrates to us that we need another Saviour. We need a real Saviour. We need a permanent solution Saviour. One who will solve the sin problem once and for all on our behalf. One who will get to the heart of the problem and cleanse the sinful human heart. And this flood in the time of Noah, it points us to Jesus, who has solved the sin problem and the wicked human heart. Not by the waters of a flood, but by the sacrifice, by his own blood. His own sacrifice, his blood poured out for us. And the flood in the time of Noah also points us to baptism. Did you know that? Let's move on, please, to the next slide. You see, in the New Testament book, 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter speaks about Noah's ark, and he also speaks about baptism. And whilst talking about the ark, he points us towards baptism, declaring that the water of the flood symbolizes baptism. This is what he says. In Noah's ark, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. And he goes on to explain what baptism's about. He says it's not the removal of dirt from the body. No, it is the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This, my friends, is the point of the flood in the time of Noah. To prove to us that we need a Saviour and to point us to that very Saviour, and his name is Jesus. The point of the flood in the time of Noah is to invite us to believe in Jesus and be baptised. To be baptized not as a way to freshen our physical bodies after a day at work or an afternoon digging the garden or a session at the gym. No, this baptism is not about the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. There are many organizations around the world, and if you say, how can I become part of this organization? It's about filling in a certain form, paying a certain fee, and receiving a certain membership card, whether it's nowadays a physical card or an app or something on your phone. But you see, the way of coming into this kingdom of God, according to Peter, the way to declare, I want to be part of your organization, Lord. I want to be transformed. I want to be made. Is this pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It is this baptism thing. This baptism thing is part of the whole being born born-again thing. Baptism, you see, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter tells us. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. So, my friends, if you have never been baptized as a believer in Jesus, then I invite you to think about it. Baptism is really significant. It's really important. In Noah's Ark, well, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And that water symbolizes baptism that now also saves us. And it's not about the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Amen.